Darling, it's a magical kingdom in a mixed up world. You're in the sweet spot, baby. You're in the sweet spot, girl. You're in the sweet spot, darling. It's a magical kingdom in a mixed up world.
Welcome to the Sweep Spot Podcast. My name is Lynn, your host, and Ken's my co-host. Ken, what's going on?
Oh, Lynn, it is going. It is going. I am so happy to be here and looking forward to this episode of the Sweep Spot.
That's right. This is episode 374.
What? 374? That's hard to believe. That's amazing, Lynn.
We almost hit 375 by the end of the year.
Almost. That's okay. Well, if the year was just a little bit longer.
You know. if you're wondering, who are these people? Ken and I are both former Disneyland Custodial customers, and we host the number one Disneyland podcast hosted by two former Disneyland custodians.
Number one.
We also are the authors of the books Cleaning the Kingdom. And you can get those books signed. I only have two copies left of the first book.
As we're recording. Anyway.
As we're recording. So, yeah. So if that's something you wanted.
These are signed copies.
Yes, signed. Yeah. You can still get our other ones on Amazon. You can buy them on Kindle or wherever digital books are found, and the audiobooks on both. For both, we have two volumes of the books, and you can get both of those audiobooks wherever audiobooks are found also.
Yeah, and before he passed away, Gilbert Gottfried recorded the audiobooks. No, I'm just kidding. We didn't get Gilbert. Couldn't afford him.
Yeah. The next best thing, though, Ken Pellman.
What? Wow.
Yeah. We also have a Patreon if you'd like to help support the show and help us to keep the bills paid and do some fun things like we're going to announce later in this introduction. So don't skip ahead. And you can join our Patreon by going to patreon.com and searching The Sweep Spot, or going to thesweepspot.com and look for the Patreon link there. And for $5 or more a month, you can get some great perks. You can get one bonus episode delivered to you per month that Ken and I record specifically for the Patreons. And it's usually about 20, 30 minutes, sometimes longer. And you can also join in our current events as we record them once a month. We do like a live recording where people can join in the chat and listen as we record the current events segment of our show. And we have a lot of fun over there. And you can do that, get all of that for $5 or more per month. So we have something we wanted to announce that we think is a big deal because we don't do this very often. And that is, Ken and I are both planning on being in Disneyland January 19th. And that's a Friday.
January 19th, 2024.
And that's a Friday. And the plans are so far that we will be there around opening that day. And we'll see how long we last. But we'll definitely be there throughout the day. On January 19th. So if you are planning a trip around then, or you are a local and have a magic key maybe and want to go in, we'd love to meet up with you. And we'll have more information as we get closer, because I was thinking maybe we'll do like a time where we can all meet, but
yeah,
you know, we don't want to cause a big scene with, you know, all of our listeners.
meet us in the Adventureland restroom
Tiki Room restroom.
12:23 p.m. Yeah.
No, but we would definitely, there'll be more to come on that, but you know, stay tuned to the podcast and also social media. We're on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Yeah. If you just connect with me on Twitter, I'm at Kenversations. Mm-hmm. It's like conversations, but Kenversations. You follow, connect with me on Twitter. And I use that a lot, and, or excuse me, X or yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
And if you don't like to use Twitter, I mean, I'm still not really active on Instagram too much, but Lynn is. So.
You're trying. Yeah. I saw you.
So if you don't use X, you know, connect with Lynn on Instagram, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So that should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to that. And I think we're going to try to do a little bit of recording that day throughout the park. I'm getting these mics, Ken. These little clip-on mics are wireless.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I thought they were going to be real expensive, and I found some reasonable ones. So that's going to be neat, because then you can just clip this little mic on your shirt, and we could just walk around. It'll record to my phone. So, yeah.
Yeah.
We will do a walk-around.
New era in the sweep spot.
That's right. Yep. That's right. Like never before.
A sweep spot like you've never heard it before.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. So if you don't listen to this whole episode, we wanted to tell you, you know, have a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, whatever you celebrate. But we want
Happy New Year.
And a Happy New Year, and let you know that we really appreciate you listening. And you're not just listeners, you're our friends. So
thank you very much for listening to two guys just hamming it up.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, for this episode, we're going to talk about the year. We're going to do like a year in review kind of thing, but it's going to be fun because we're going to kind of talk about some of the events we talked about in the past, but we're going to talk about, so they're not like the original recordings from when we talked.
We now have more perspective on some of these things because exactly, it's been, you know, several months since some of them happened. So
That's right. All right. Well,
looking forward to it. And obviously we couldn't get a guest.
I know.
Yeah. Sometimes we just like to record just the two of us. That's the honest truth of the matter. We like having guests on, but sometimes we just want a dialogue between the two of us.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of why I started this show, because I wanted to talk about Disneyland. And sometimes we have guests on, I get to talk about it, but we want to focus more on our guest and we don't have as much time to talk amongst ourselves. So it's always fun to do these every couple months if we can. All right. Well, I think we need to get right into it and hope you enjoy this. Looking to book a vacation to Disneyland Resort, Walt Disney World Resort, Disney Cruise Line, Disney Alani, Disneyland Paris, Adventures by Disney, Universal Studios Hollywood, Universal Studios Orlando, then I can do that for you. If you contact me and we can talk about all the different options and dates, and we can kind of even make recommendations on which days might be the best for you to go. And also as a complimentary, when you book with us, we will book your dining for you if you'd like, special events. And we also, when we book a vacation for you, we just don't say have a good time after we book it for you. We are there every step of the way. We contact you before your trip to make sure everything's squared away. We even have a checklist to make sure that you have everything you need. Reservations, dining, all these different things. Your transportation, if you need help with that from the airport, any of those sort of things, we can help you with that too. We want to make the vacation the best it can be for you, because I know that vacations aren't cheap and we can help you do that. So if you contact me, that's Lynn, and the email is lbaron@concierge.com. That's LBA.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/westwood1.
RRON at concierge.com, or you can go to the sweepspot.com, and there's a link on our front page there. You can click on that, and there's information on how to contact me. But I'd love to talk to you and help you book the best vacation possible. So on this episode, our last main topic episode of the year, we thought we'd do a recap of the year, some of the bigger stories that we reported, and some of the guests that we've had on our show also that we thought if you've missed that you shouldn't miss, you can go back, or if you want to listen to it again, that's always great too. But we've never done anything like this as far as like a recap of the year in stories, and I thought it might be kind of fun and just to kind of take a look back and see where those projects are or what has changed since those were reported. So,
and we're recapping the year 2023.
23, yeah.
In case you're listening to this, you know, a couple years down the line,
10 years from now.
Yeah. Archaeologist who's going back and finding
that's
it.
Right. That's right. So I thought we'd start off with one of the bigger stories that we talked about way back on January 6th of 2023. And it is permits were filed for the Downtown Disney renovation. And they are still working on that. But one section of it did open. They have the, you know, I was able to see it a week or so ago when I was there. The stage is open. They have a little like seating area, like a turf grass and everything. I thought it was interesting because when I noticed it, when you're walking on that main pathway down the center of Downtown Disney, you know, the back of the stage is facing there, like not the front of the stage, which I thought was kind of odd. But I think that from what I understand, the plans are there's going to be a grander entrance to Downtown Disney that's going to come from like the direction where the theater was, like that way from that parking lot that's behind Paradise Pier, Pixar Place Hotel. I think that that's going to be the main like entrance and the security and all that over that way, because when we were there, everyone has to use the same security entrance, even like hotel guests from Paradise Pier and Disneyland Hotel and everyone that just wants to visit Downtown Disney all have to go to the same security. So I think this would be good because it could get busy at times. And I was thinking when we were there, I thought this kind of sucks because, you know, you pay a premium to stay at a Disney hotel. You should be able to zoom through security faster than having to wait, you know, with everyone else. So I hope they keep both of them, you know, and I think they will. But anyhow,
and you were there, like
I was there.
You were there, so
I was.
Yeah. Should people go listen to something after they listen to this episode? They want to get your recent trip report. Should they listen to something else?
No. Just kidding. Yeah, I did give a good trip report on this other podcast that I'm on called Ears to the Kingdom, and you can look at that. But
I see how it is. Yeah,
it's a concierge podcast. I'm over
that,
there.
That's permitted. That's allowed.
Yeah. So permits were filed then, and there's still ongoing construction there. I don't think there's a timeline on when the whole thing will be done, but you can tell they're getting further along.
Has there ever been a time? I mean, has there ever been a time downtown Disney hasn't been changing?
True.
There's always, it seems like there's always something coming or going. But that's not, that's for the most part, that's been in an existing space. Right. You know, they don't do structural changes, but they've been doing structural changes this year.
Yeah. And who's to know what's going to happen with the old ESPN building, which is a big building. I hope they do something worthwhile that takes up the whole space, especially with that shop. They have that Star Wars.
Yeah.
I don't know the official name shop there where the Rainforest Cafe is, but they're only using the gift shop and waiting area of that restaurant. So they're not even using the whole bottom floor, which that restaurant had a second floor. So who's to know? But
it's kind of like, do you want to make it a distinct arrival, sense of arrival entrance to downtown Disney, or do you want it to be something that just seems to organically exist between the hotels? I guess that's a decision, and we'll see what it ends up being.
And for Earl of Sandwich, they're getting pushed all over the place. They had the location where Compass Books was, and then they got moved down because they tore that section off. Then they got moved down to where the, was it La Brea Bakery is, was, which is near World of Disney store. But that's going to be, that building is going to be torn down, and they're putting in, I can't think of the name now. It's just another restaurant, but they don't want to use the existing
Porto's
building. Yeah, I think something like that. Yeah. They don't want to use that existing building. And they did say Earl of Sandwich would have a spot, I think, in this new section. But I don't know. So, yeah, they've been all over the place. And they're a very popular place. So that'll be nice when they finally get a permanent location.
Yeah, I mean that.
They thought it was permanent.
It'll be nice when things have been largely completed and things calm down a bit there.
Yeah. Well, the next story I have here is the Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway opened January 27th. It's hard to believe that was way back in January.
Oh, time flies.
Yeah.
But that's a great, a new attraction. The stuff in the queue has gotten rave reviews, all the stuff to see in the queue and some of the connections there and
you, jokes. You've been on it, right?
I have.
What did you think?
I thought it was nice. I mean, I don't think I'm really the target audience of it, but it's nice. I'm glad that it's an expansion. They didn't. I mean, the only stuff they really took away from the guests was, they moved a shop, but what they took away was backstage stuff. So they it's expanding the guest footprint. So it's not like they said, "Well, we're going to add this, but we're going to take away Cartoon Spin."
That's true, because they took away a shop, but they have another shop now at the exit. So, yeah. I think it's a great addition to Toontown. And I think that when we heard the news that this was going to be in Toontown, we were all surprised because, not really surprised, but at the same time, I think a lot of people thought that Galaxy's Edge was going to take over that space,
Right. It was Toontown. It seemed like Toontown's days were going to be limited. Mm-hmm. Like maybe they could find a different location for Mickey and Minnie's homes or something like that.
Yeah.
And then they could expand Galaxy's Edge or something. But then when you hear, oh, they're going to put in Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway and they're going to do some other tidying up of Toontown, it's like, okay, then I guess Toontown's not going anywhere.
No, not anytime soon. The it used to be called Daisy's Cafe, I think, and now it's Cafe Daisy. So I don't know. They switched.
Oh, big changes. that was the thing that's going to make all the difference was changing that. Well, that is part of what they consider. That's part of show writing is to come up with the names of the facilities, and of course, operations has to agree. And yeah.
Right. But I think it's a great addition. It's another attraction that's for all ages. You know, the whole family could ride it. It, you know, it doesn't have anything that's, I mean, I guess you could, it has some sections that might be considered a little bit scary for some very young kids, but I don't, it just happens so fast, the whole thing. I think it's aimed at the whole family and everyone of all ages. And it uses all this technology that they're using in other attractions, like the trackless system. And
right. That's a good way to make the research and development into something like that worthwhile, is to spread it, you know, to use it in various attractions. And where it makes sense to use, that's great. You know, it's...
Right.
When you've got a ride system that adapts to different things, like it's wonderful for Rise of the Resistance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a great use of it.
Maybe someday they'll add that to Winnie the Pooh, because isn't the one in Japan like on the trackless thing or something like that?
I believe so. That might have been where it all originated. I don't know though.
Yeah, I don't.
So.
Or the Haunted Mansion over there in Hong Kong, something like that.
Mystic Manor.
Yeah, Mystic Manor, yeah. So to go along with that, we kind of talked about this. March 19th, Toontown reopen. So from January 27th to March 19th, they had just the right side. I don't even think Roger Rabbit was open, but I think it was just mainly like the section to get to Mickey Minnie's railway was open, and then they opened the whole rest of the land in March. So that was good, and we kind of talked about that a little bit. I did want to mention, so Indy had a Indiana Jones Adventure had a refurb that was 3 months. It was closed for 3 months, which is longer than it normally gets. And they repaired and changed, you know, added a couple things and kind of fixed up some stuff that hadn't been working for a while. And that reopened in March. I have on here March. I have a question mark. But it opened this year, and it was down for 3 months, and it was definitely something that needed to be done. I know they didn't fix everything back to the original way, but I think that it looks better. The lighting's better than it was. You know, they still have problems with it going down, and I don't think that's as much of a system as it is guest-related sometimes.
Oh?
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
What, slow loading or people
dropping would think,
things? Or?
Yeah, maybe. That's what I'm hearing. But a lot of the... And some of it might have to do with maybe the cast, because they did lose, during the reopenings a couple years ago, they did lose a lot of senior people. But you would think by now they'd be... I don't know what the problem is, but even when you and I worked there, that attraction always had... a lot of downtimes during the day.
It's a very complicated attraction.
It is, yeah. A lot going on. But yeah, so that was down 3 months and it reopened. And it looks great inside and it's running. the DVC Lounge opened in Tomorrowland in the old Progress City. Carousel Progress Theater.
Well, Progress, the model of Progress City model was up on the upper level of that.
Oh, that's true.
Originally, yeah. When it was Carousel Progress.
So there you are in the same location.
There you go. So
yeah. So yeah. So then that same building, Interventions, we always say too sometimes, Launch Bay, they use the upstairs area. They still haven't reopened the downstairs, which I don't understand why they haven't done that. I thought it was kind of neat. They had a lot of great meet and greets, which I think they still have some, but they used to have more of a, I don't know, like displays and things that you can see from Star Wars. So someday they will utilize that, which surprised me that they put this in there because it doesn't feel permanent. You know,
might as well use the space, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
I unlike some people, I haven't been in that.
Yeah. I've been in there twice and,
big shot.
Yeah. We had some listeners that invited me up there and then Eric.
How come you get to do all the fun stuff?
Yeah.
I didn't do anything fun this year, did I? No, I'm just kidding.
No, well, we're getting there. So then, so that was fun, and it's really neat inside, and it's, you know, it's got that kind of a retro feel, and they kind of went back to the Tomorrowland, older Tomorrowland feel a little bit,
and the
feel you get. And it's a neat place to go, but it's not for everyone. You have to be a DVC member or know someone that you're with.
By the way, if you don't know, that is the Disney Vacation Club.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, especially if we have newer listeners, they might not. They might not know what the heck we're talking about sometimes.
DVC, yeah.
Just Disney jargon, you know.
So that opened in April. And then we have, unfortunately, Splash Mountain closed in May.
Yes.
And you were there a few weeks before it closed, I believe.
I was there May 21st.
Okay, so a week before.
That was something that my family plotted.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about it. I don't remember which episode or if it was a bonus episode or, you know.
I think it was, yeah.
But, no, I think it was a main episode. I think we talked.
We did a tribute to Splash Mountain. That's right.
We did some other trip reports on bonus episodes that are for our Patreon supporters. Because I had three other trips that I took that, you know.
Right.
But, yeah, that was something my family put together. I don't think I knew about it until like a week before it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And got to do my... See, they thought maybe I had caught on because I took a video of myself on a previous trip saying, well, this could be my last ride on Splash Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, you didn't... Did you know about... I don't know. I just knew that there was time before it closed, and
who knows?
You know, who knows what's going to happen? You know,
right.
maybe I would get in to ride it again. So,
yeah,
yeah. And so they arranged for my final trip. I took that trip with Tony Baxter, who, for those of you who are not familiar with that name, he was a major creative force behind the attraction originally.
Right. So. Yeah, so that was, what a great thing. Great, something you'll never forget, you know.
Right, one of the, that's, because what I didn't realize, my wife asked me while she was planning this out, she goes, what would you say were like your, you know, your top 3 days at Disneyland ever, you know? And I just thought it was a random question, you know. I should know better, but I thought it was a
test
question. Yeah. And so after, she's like, so it's, you know, it's just one of your best days ever. And I'm like, it's one of the best days of my life.
Right. Besides the time you met me, of course.
that goes without saying, but you know, getting to do,
it's amazing.
What is that there's Club 33, but the one over in TCA, you know, the 1920 Club 23, whatever it's called.
Yeah, Club 1901 or something.
Yeah, and getting to do that, and you know, with Tony and his sister, and go around Disneyland riding these attractions with them, and taking the last ride on Splash Mountain, and it was just quite a day. So, and of course, then Splash Mountain closed, and that was a big deal.
A lot
of social media that day with people, you know, posting pictures and videos and
taking water home,
selling it on eBay.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was an unfortunate thing, but we are optimistic and hope it's just as good.
Yeah.
Or close to being just as good as Splash Mountain was. The next thing we have here, and I was not here when it happened. I was at my hotel room across the street.
Alibi.
But I did see it the next morning before they covered up. But that was the Phantasmic Dragon, known as Murphy, burned, you know, caught on fire during a show. And I believe it was the second show of the night. And it is still not reopened yet. That happened in April. It was April 23rd, I believe. 22nd, 23rd. I remember getting into the park early that day and I kind of forgot about it. I mean, it was, you know, I rode Indy first because that was just kind of been my thing because I wanted to see some of the changes after it reopened. And as I was walking by Rivers of America, I looked over and went, oh, yeah. And saw Dusty Sage there from Mice Chat. He was documenting it, and they hadn't yet like covered the whole thing up yet, but within that 30 minutes or so after that, it was all covered up. But I was surprised they didn't do that before the park opened. I mean, when I got over there, it was probably 8:30, so like couldn't they have started a little early? I don't know. So it's kind of odd, but they had that going on, and so that still hasn't reopened yet. But their plans now to reopen, is it May? I think it was May. We announced it was May 26th or 1st or something like that. It's in the end of May. It's going to reopen. So yeah, that'll be good. Yeah.
And it'll have the Peter Pan segment back.
That's right.
So
that's something I think a lot of people missed. They enjoyed. I thought that adding Pirates of the Caribbean, the movie part of it, was appropriate. It made sense, especially, you know, the popularity of those movies. But I think that it kind of does make sense to go back to the classics too. Then we have in June 30th, Rogers the Musical open for 2 months, which was kind of odd because, you know, I went and saw it. I thought it was very good. I mean, they have the soundtrack you could buy on iTunes. They kind of went all out, but it only lasted 2 months. So it's almost like maybe they have plans. It might not be something they would have. Maybe it'll come back, but it almost felt like maybe it was something they were rehearsing to do something later.
Kind of a trial balloon, maybe?
Yeah, like maybe they'll add it to the cruises or something, you know, cruise ship or something like that in the future. But that opened up June 30th, and that was good. Really enjoyed it. It was nice to see that theater open for a little bit. We're 2 months after it had closed. The parks, when they closed in 2020, they didn't have anything in there up to June 30th, 2023. So, and now there's nothing in there again. But hopefully there will be plans because that's a beautiful theater. I had only been in there I was in there for the original show. What was that original show called? Step in Time or Steps in Time or something like that. And then I went in there and saw that blast or whatever. It was with the drums and the bugle corps and all that.
Yeah.
And I didn't never saw Aladdin or Frozen. But then I saw this. So yeah, I was only in there 3 times, but what a great theater. The next thing I have here is Disneyland Forward Talk with the City of Anaheim started in May.
Yes. You know, something that has changed, I believe, mm-hmm. since the late 80s and then the 1990s, where Disney pushed to upgrade to the Disneyland Resort with, you know, new hotel and new theme park and downtown Disney, and then the surrounding resort district area, the Anaheim Resort District. Something that it just occurred to me that mm-hmm. is different is California implemented term limits on the can affect federal positions, you know, mm-hmm. like senator or whatever, but it affects like governor of California,
right.
State senator, state, you know, assembly member. And it affects, I know it affects county elected supervisors and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I think it affects cities too, if I'm not mistaken. If it affects cities too, it means that Disney, when you talk about county and city level, often incumbents, before term limits, incumbents used to just keep getting reelected for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And that, in the case of Anaheim, that would mean Disney would be dealing with many of the same people for quite a while. But if you've got a lot of turnover in those positions mm-hmm. For the elected officials, then it means Disney's, you know, because these projects take a long time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Disney first talked about doing a second theme park publicly. They talked about it mm-hmm. in 1989, and it didn't open until 2001. So, you know, it takes a long time. And so you're going to be dealing with different people over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it might make it more difficult. But, you know, the Disneyland, there was a lot of speculation and people were really trying to read the tea leaves and, mm-hmm. you know, they're like looking at the concept art and saying, ooh, I think it's going to be this kind of attraction, you know? And it's like, this is not like finalized design. Disney's trying to get zoning approvals.
Right.
And, you know, public support and things like that. This is not, you know, close to finalizing what's actually going to be there.
Well, they had to put something in there to give an example and yeah. to also, you know, to try to win over the people that are making these decisions. So if they're like, ooh, that looks neat, you know, so they're trying to please, you know,
yeah,
the officials and try to get people to get on board with this idea and get it zoned the way they need it to be. To do the things they want to do is what they were first talking about. And I believe they're still in that, right? They're still kind of working on that part of
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
It's not zoned yet.
Trying to get all that finalized. So
yeah.
Because if they do get the freedom to, you know, they do get the rezoning freedom, then that can really affect what they do. Right. If they don't, you know, if it's like, nope, you know, this space can only be used for hotel and this space can only be used for parking and this, you know, then it's going to be a different ball game as to what they do.
You know? Right.
So yeah.
It kind of helps them with planning because obviously they have an idea of what they would like, but once it's all said and done, then those things are kind of determined for them and where they can put things, like you said. So it will kind of help them in the planning stages. And until they get it zoned, they probably won't have much of an idea on what they're going to put where.
Yeah.
They're waiting on that. And I don't know how the turnovers are, but is it like election year, like next year? Is that election year?
Cities, it is, you know, it's a general election year, so.
Right, right.
But the cities are often on a different schedule. So
oh, okay. What I meant, yeah. Well, the next thing we have here is that the event, Oogie Boogie Halloween event, that the after hours events that Disneyland had started doing a while back, has become more and more popular each year, especially after it kind of moved to DCA. I think it really just grew in popularity. And all the tickets sold out in 12 hours, which is something I wanted to mention because of, it seems to me that Halloween, I mean, when you and I worked there, Halloween was not a special thing. I think they had some cast member stuff like after hours.
Well, they did Little Monsters on Main Street.
Little Monsters, like right. That.
But they did try out, during my time there, they did try out a couple of different things that were interesting, you know.
Yeah.
But not the Oogie Boogie. That was on the Disneyland side.
Right.
And, you know, Oogie Boogie Bash at California Adventure is an entirely different thing.
Yeah, I think they tried the Mickey's Scary, whatever, something Halloween. I can't remember.
Well, I know I did. What isn't it at Walt Disney World? Isn't it Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party? Or
yeah,
whatever?
Yeah.
And I think it might have been, I don't know if it was titled exactly the same, but
something similar to that. Yeah. And I think they tried that. That was after I had left. I think that was, I'd be guessing, but I think that was like 2010, 12, 14, somewhere in there when they started that. And then they moved it over to California Adventure, which makes sense because if you have people that are traveling from all over the world, they, you know, they want to go to Disneyland, has more to see and do there. So to block off, you know, 4 hours, because if California Adventure would close at 10, it does a lot of nights, it closes at 10. I think instead it closed at 6 for these parties. So not a huge deal, but probably a bigger deal if you were to do that at Disneyland. There is more space over there too, as far as open walkways and everything over there. But yeah, very popular event, and I'm sure we'll be talking more about that in our news segment, or we had talked about it by the time you listen to this.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you know, that's when you have to compare what's going on in Southern California. Mm-hmm. Knott's Berry Farm started, you know, like 50 years ago, they started something, you know, Knott's Scary Farm Halloween Haunt. Mm-hmm. Now the tone of that, it's, you know, it's not for little kids. Tone of it, I would say, would be like PG-13 or bordering on R. For those of you familiar with the United States rating system for movies, and then of course you have Universal Studios started doing that, Halloween Horror Nights,
right?
You know, they do that on both coasts. They do it in Orlando. And Universal's like, well, heck, we can beat Knott's at this because we can use Universal's properties, our movie properties and stuff like that, and our connections with movie makers.
Yeah, and of course, makeup and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then in Six Flags Magic Mountain has some Fright Fest. And I've experienced the ones at Universal and Knott's, but not the Magic Mountain Fright Fest. Of course, if the merger goes through, Six Flags and Knott's, you know, Six Flags Magic Mountain and Knott's Berry Farm will be part of the same company. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But Disney's dealing with these three other local parks that have these big events. And so now Disney, you think they've got Industrial Light and Magic. Maybe we can do a whole episode about talking about this sometime.
Probably.
But, you know, Disney's got Industrial Light and Magic. They got Walt Disney Imagineering. You know, all of this. You think Disney couldn't do a really intense terror sort of thing, horror?
Yeah.
But instead of doing that, they're doing, you know, the Oogie Boogie Bash, which is, you know, little kids can come in and enjoy that.
Yeah, everyone. Yeah.
Because if people want the stuff that's more on the horror side, they could go to the other parks for that. But yeah.
I think that just they know what they're going to get with Disney. It's not going to be horror, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that that just kind of goes with the name and what they're known for.
Right.
I know what you're saying, though. It could they have the potential to go that direction, but I don't know if they ever will. You never know.
Right.
The next thing we talked about that happened in July, unfortunately, and that is the passing of our good friend Jim Corcus, who has been a guest on our show. I can't remember. At one point, I counted it probably 30-something times. But, always, I know we talked about this many times, but always enjoyed having Jim on our show.
Yeah, we liked it. Our listeners liked it. I hope Jim liked it. That was just a terrible loss, you know. I mean, we talked about that at the time, and
not just for us and his family, obviously, but for the whole community, because he brought so much education of Disney history to everyone. You know, his research was amazing research that he did. You know, his books will always live on, and we can always learn from those. And I'm glad that he left a huge catalog of books behind for everyone to continue to learn. So, yeah, if you go back and I think Jim is someone that we'll always mention on the show because I think you can go back and listen to the episodes that we've had him on, and they're just amazing episodes, and you'll learn a lot on each one. Ken and I learned something or more than just one thing, but each time we had him on, and you know, go back and of course buy his books. This is a great time to buy those on Amazon. For your friends and family who love Disney. The next thing that kind of happened, San Francisco at California Adventure opened August 31st. Now that was, I don't think I've actually been over there since this reopened. No, I have not, to see it, but it's more of just a, what would you call that?
A retheme?
Yeah.
An overlay?
Overlay, kind of.
It's a permanent overlay, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I'll have to see it, but it sounds appropriate for the area, and you know, it kind of fits in the theming of California. So.
Yeah, it's that kind of area. Was probably the least talked about before this renovation. So, you know, I mean, I'm sure some people liked it because of that. You know, it's like, oh, it's just a little thing you discover. Disney, you know, it's not something Disney's touting and stuff like that. But now it's much more alive, I would say, you know.
Least amount of changes, I would almost say. You know, the Lucky, was it the Fortune? I can't think of the names right now.
Lucky Fortune Cookery?
Yeah, like that is still there. The Mexican restaurant, like a lot of things didn't change since opening day over there. So until now. So, so moving on. So, in August, they announced the changes to Haunted Mansion coming up. Those have not started yet. They've announced that they're going to extend the queue into the New Orleans area further towards the train station and the fountain there. And then they're going to add a store at the exit of the attraction. And they're going to do something with the handicap accessible, like the, an easier way for them to get through the attraction to get to the load area. So that has yet to happen yet. Right now, obviously, they're not going to start that now, but I would imagine they would start that in January or February sometime. And some people speculate that the attraction will be closed during this whole time and may not even reopen until it reopens again as Haunted Mansion Holiday. So they technically wouldn't need to change the redecorate. Some people think that.
It's a long time to keep Haunted Mansion closed.
It is. That's, and I don't know if they would keep something like that closed during the whole summer. So they could probably still have it open while they add a queue, because it's not, for a little while, it's not going to affect the current queue. So,
right.
I don't know. They haven't announced any of the plans as far as closures and all that, but I would imagine they're going to try to keep it open as long as they can through this, and especially have it reopened by spring or summer, I would think. So that's something we will definitely report back on when we get more information. The next thing I have here is in the same area. On September 7th, Tiana's Palace opened in the old spot of the French Market.
Yes.
I didn't try this. I walked by there. It looked really neat. But it didn't really, at least to me, it didn't change the area too much or anything. And actually, if anyone, if someone that maybe goes to Disneyland every couple of years, or even if you went once a year, it didn't really stay up on all the news and didn't listen to the Sweep Spot, you probably would not even notice that this happened. I mean, yeah, it's painted different colors and stuff, but lighting's different. But I didn't get a chance to eat there this last time. And to be honest, the French Market was not a place that we normally frequented when we were there anyways. So the next thing here, in September, Disneyland added more places that serve alcohol in Disneyland Park.
Yeah, it's something, yeah. I don't think I mentioned it that when it happened, that I meant to mention was, I hope this increases the tips that the servers are getting.
Oh,
because yeah. Generally, if people are, the alcoholic drinks are usually more expensive, and hopefully people are tipping more. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think of that. But before these changes, it was just, there was no alcohol. And then when Galaxy's Edge opened in 2019, you have Oga's Cantina that started serving alcohol. But that sort of seemed removed from, Disneyland, the original Disneyland. And then the next one was Blue Bayou. And obviously before this, Club 33 did, but Blue Bayou started serving alcohol, but that was it for a while. And now you have Carnation Cafe. I can't even remember the names. Is it Carnation Cafe, Cafe Orleans, I believe. And then Blue Bayou, of course.
Yeah.
I didn't really notice a difference, and you probably, again, it would be another story that you probably wouldn't notice if you weren't really an alcohol drinker and didn't really keep up on all the news.
I think the dolls at It's a Small World noticed.
They probably noticed. They noticed. Anyhow, those locations now serve alcohol, but it's not like you can, and I hope it never gets to this, it's not like you can take those drinks and start walking around Disneyland and waiting in lines and stuff. I hope it always stays to just the restaurants that are serving it. DCA, you can walk around with a beer or whatever, and that's fine. But I hope it never gets to the other way, you know, like California Adventure, in my opinion. The next big thing we have here was that, you know, for a while we kind of suspected that they would have another expo, D23 Expo. But there was no official word until we received this in September that they were going to have an expo, but it was going to be kind of a different, they're trying to do it in more locations and spread it out over the like whole Anaheim resort. I mean, all the way to Angel Stadium to the whatever it's called now, Honda Center or Pond or whatever. I don't even know what it's called anymore.
It's the Honda Center.
Is it still? Okay.
Yeah.
Over there. And so they're kind of expanding everywhere. They're going to have a D23 day at Disneyland, I think like a few days before the actual event. But yeah, so that was kind of some news that came out, but it was still not very much detail on that. And I'm sure more will come in this next few months, I would assume. We don't know if we will be there or not. I think I'm going to go either way, just to go, and then I'll just sell books out of my backpack. No, just kidding.
Don't tell them your plans ahead of time. They'll quote you.
I will not do that. But so yeah, we don't know if we'll be there yet. We'd like to be there, but we'll find out later what's going on.
It depends on how much money they're going to pay us.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I've got my demands, you know, and they better meet them. Otherwise, I'm not going to be there.
Well, we might be invited somewhere else during that same time. So you never know. The Disneyland Hotel Villas opened in September. And nice. That was somewhere I stayed 2 weeks ago. In 2 weeks now. Wow. Very nice. It was new. Everything's obviously new and just felt fresh. And I just thought it was really nice. I thought they did a very good job with the theming. And just the rooms felt a little more roomy, like, and we had a wonderful view. We had this, it was called the preferred view. So we were overlooking straight at the towers at Adventure Tower. And you can see the Frontier Tower off to your right. And then of course, Fantasy Tower, but you can see down at the pool area and Trader Sam's and all that. It was a really nice place to stay. If you ever get a chance, I highly recommend it. So yeah, so that happened, and I think it kind of completes, it just felt, I mean, not that the Disneyland Hotel was ever like not completed, but it feels like it fills it in, because now you have towers like surrounding that whole pool area, the middle area there. Yeah, it looks really nice. The next thing is, of course, ticket prices went up a little bit here and there, but especially for Magic Keys in just this past October. And that's something that usually happens, but
yeah, that's to be expected. You know,
it seemed like it was a lot more. I think it, you know, it went up, what, 150% or something on Magic Keys, something crazy like that. I don't know, but it went up a lot. And because I know the magic key that I had was $649, or was it $699? Now it's $799. I don't remember now what I paid. It just happened. But yeah, so that happened in October. And then we have the announcement of a date, an opening date for Pixar Place Hotel, which is Paradise Pier currently. On January 30th, that's going to reopen. And if you want to book a room there, you know who to contact.
That's right. Who are you going to call?
Lynn Barron. So, yeah, you can contact me and I can
That fits. We've got it. We've got to record that. Who are you going to call? Lynn Barham. Of course, we'll have to compensate Huey Lewis.
Yeah, not Ray Parker Jr.
Maybe him too, but I don't know.
All right. So yeah, that's going to happen, and I would imagine that some of the newer rooms are already opened, but I haven't seen any reports or video or photos of anyone staying in those. But you would think, at this point, where they're almost a month away, 6 weeks away from opening, that they would start to have guests, you know, in those rooms, because they obviously did. They're not going to like change over the rooms in one night. So, November 10th, Adventureland Treehouse opened, and I was able to visit that, and I did it daytime and night because I wanted to see the differences, and I thought it was really neat at night too. They did a really good job with the lighting. It's just nice to have that treehouse back in the area. I like Tarzan Treehouse. I thought that brought a lot to the area. Of course, I like Swiss Family Robinson Treehouse too, but it's good to have it back. I'm glad that they were able to find something and do it well. And they have animatronics in there a little bit. I know Garner Holt was someone that we've had on our show a long time ago. Had a part in this, not only the animatronics, but I had heard that he had a big part in bringing back the water wheel section of the treehouse. Nice. Yeah. So it just brings a nice ambiance to the area again. It was something that was missing for a while. So I highly recommend everyone at least visit it once. And then, of course, the biggest story of all. our books went up in sales. It had another, would you say, Ken?
What?
What happened with our books last month?
People just realized what masterpieces they are. So
That's true.
They started, word of mouth started spreading. Well, what happened was, it was really interesting because in my day job, mm-hmm. I talked with a reporter from sfgate.com. You know, it's one of the San Francisco newspapers, one of the major newspapers, and they have their website is sfgate.com, about something else. They quoted me about something else, and that story got picked up and various outlets. But a few days later, a reporter from the same organization quoted us from our first book. Mm-hmm. And they didn't contact us. They just went ahead and did it, which is fine. And then they linked to like an old listing on Amazon for our books, which you go there and it says there's a newer listing for this book.
Right.
And then that story went super viral. Well, not super viral. It went viral. A lot of places picked it up, and kind of got out of hand. There's a lot of, I think it was some outlets were kind of misleading about what was happening, you know, and so, but anyway, that's ended up spiking sales of our books. I did over 20 minutes of an interview on WABC radio in New York.
That was great.
And the host is a professional. He kept mentioning our podcast and the book. So if you found us that way, you know, welcome aboard. Glad to have you. But I thought that was interesting. I was wondering if there's any readers of that original website or newspaper who were like, hey, this, because my name is not very common, you know. There's not a lot. There's been a few, but there's not a lot of Ken Pellmans out there. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it'd be funny if somebody said, this guy's quoted as an authority on two completely different subjects, you know, just days apart, you know. Yeah. I don't know if anyone was sharp-eyed enough to catch that, but that was great because we didn't have to really, you know, we got publicity for our books. And when I went on the radio show, I took the opportunity to set the record straight that, you know,
right.
You're not going to see, if you go to Disney parks, it's going to be extremely rare if you would see anybody pooping in line, you know.
They made it sound like, yeah,
it's not like, I mean, some, yeah, somehow it made it sound like it was
a big trend, you
know, a huge problem, and that it was new. And you know, it's not new, you know, it's always happened. It happens at any venue, really.
Yeah,
we have that many people and, you know, there for that amount of time, but hopefully it doesn't happen in front of you when you go in. And chances are it won't, you know.
Yeah, that was, it was great because I had people, you know, like family and friends that are all over the country that would, hey, I just saw you mentioned in this. I heard you, because we were also mentioned in some radio stations in Phoenix and different areas of the country that, that mentioned this article and talked about it. But I noticed that it was on Yahoo News, Fox News, New York Post, I think.
It was it was in a lot of places.
Yeah, a lot of different places, which was amazing. But, and yeah, just a lot of sales from that. Luckily, we don't have to ship those out. We just, you know, we get the we get the royalties.
We've got elves that do it.
Yeah, they didn't link it to our website. I think I only have two of our original books left right now, so at the moment. The first book, I have maybe six of the second books. So anyways, that was the last big story up to our recording time, the beginning of December. Before we go, though, I wanted to mention, because we've had a lot of guests, great guests on over the 13 years I've been doing this show.
We love getting the different perspectives from various people.
Yeah.
People we work with, people we didn't work with. You know, we love the various perspectives about Disneyland, visiting Disneyland, working at Disneyland, designing for Disneyland. Mm-hmm. We just love to get the different perspectives from various people.
Yeah, and that's something that I've heard other people mention about our podcast, is that you kind of get a behind the scenes look, and it's not just behind the scenes like backstage or anything like that. It's more also behind the scenes, you know, how they made certain attractions or lands and different things. Like you said, we've had Tom Morris on our show three times this year in episodes 350, 358. And 369. 358 was with Rick West, and we had a great discussion, which I think we are going to try to continue in 2024. We talked a lot about New Orleans Square with those two gentlemen. And on 369, we had, you know, Tom Morrison, we had Jeff Baum on, and we talked all about Haunted Mansion. You know, Jeff is kind of the Haunted Mansion expert and has books written about it, and so we had a really good conversation about Haunted Mansion. You can check that out. That was 369. We've had Imagineer Greg Combs on, and that was 353. We've had another Imagineer, Mel McGowan, and that was on 356. We talked a lot with Mel, a lot about Downtown Disney and the Grand Californian and that whole transformation of the Anaheim Resort, the area around Disneyland. With him, he had done some work with that.
And Mel, and something that, you know, he couldn't talk about at the time that's mm-hmm. since happened is a couple of new parks that his company is involved with, Storyland Studios,
yeah,
have been announced. One of them is going to be up near Mount Rushmore.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this is that's great. Congratulations to him.
Yes, we'll definitely have Mel back on again. He's someone I like to have on often, at least once a year. Someone else we've had on our show in the past, but we had him on during this year, was Freddie Martin. He's worked in, he's also part of Storyland Studios, but he was a cast member. He worked on the Jungle Cruise, Tiki Room in Adventureland, and He has a lot of great stories and insight into designing and things like that. So, also, he's also in the podcast. He's on one of the hosts on the Backside of Water podcast, which is a great podcast. We've also had Kevin Lively on, Imagineer, and he was also a skipper on Jungle Cruise.
Yeah, we can't get enough of those Jungle Cruise skippers.
Yeah. I didn't put the episode number on that one for that one for some reason. But it was
listen to every single episode and find it.
It was fairly recent. I want to say it was probably in September, October when we talked to him. Then we did a show that we, I don't think we had done this before, but it was a lot of fun to do. And it was kind of a Disneyland 101, like an introduction to the basics of Disneyland history. And we had a nice discussion, just you and I, Ken. We talked. That was 367.
So if you're new to this, you know, new to our podcast or new to Disneyland history, just want to kind of get an overview of what we're talking about, go listen to 367. You know, these are all, you can search for these. We do have a free archive that's got them all, you know,
we do,
chronologically, and you can look them up by month or subject. You can type in a word and see, you know, if we mention it in the episode description. So.
Right. The next one I have mentioned here was that we had our friend, this is in no order here. We had our friend and a former custodian, Jeremiah LeCompte on our show, and he's been on there twice now. And these are fairly recent, episodes, in the past, I'd say in the past month or two, we've had him on twice, and we're probably going to have him on at least one other time, to talk. And we had a lot of good feedback. He has a lot of great stories of working in Disneyland and Disney California Adventure. Then we had our friend on, David Koenig. And he was on episode 357. And I don't remember what we talked about on that episode, but I know it was great. I can't remember now at the moment, but it's always great when we have David on. Oh, I think it was we talked about the surges in crowds like over the years. And then we did a tribute to Splash Mountain on episode 359.
All right.
Kind of did we had talked about way back when I started this show, I had Ken on as a guest. And, he talked about the history of Splash Mountain, and he told his story about how he had met, you know, Tony Baxter and the whole connections there. And so it had been a while. It had been, 13 years. So I wanted to do another, since it was closing, I wanted to do a tribute to Splash Mountain. The next one we have is we had our friends on... Who was this we had on, Ken? It was
Sue, Rod, and Sue.
Sue, that's right. Okay, I was trying to. I erased. I was doing this on my phone, and I accidentally erased the names.
Rod and Sue, who were starting up a their own podcast. You know.
Yeah, they're still going strong. They had a lot of great stories, and those definitely. Some that we'll have back in the future again also. And then we had David Bossert on, and we talked about House of the Future in episode 370. He has his book out on House of the Future. And we've had David on a few times before this. Usually around the time he has a book coming out, we like to try to help our fellow authors and podcasters. He's also a podcaster. And so we had him on. We talked about House of the Future and talked a lot of history, and then talked some about his book. That was a great conversation. And then more recently, we had skipper Kip Hart on, and that was episode 372. And that was a lot of fun. He's a comedian and a skipper, so it was a great time. So as you can see, we had a lot of great shows, a lot of great guests, and this wasn't all of them. So you can go back and listen to, I don't know how many episodes we put out just in the past year, but we do two a month. So, you know, we have quite a few episodes out just in the past year, but over our whole library of 13 years, you can find all those episodes. I think we have episode 6 and beyond or something like that. So people always say, what happened to episode 1 through 5 or whatever?
They were just too good. So you took them off.
Well, the demand was too high. So no.
You put them behind a paywall.
Episode number 1 was like a test, and I had it on there, and it was just terrible. It was just something that Laura and I had put out there, and it wasn't the greatest. And so I guess so then we did episode 2, 3, 4. And a lot of those subjects we talked about in the beginning were subjects that we revisited, and so I just kind of took those off. I guess I could put them on someday just for fun, but if you do want those episodes, I have them. If you write me at thesweetspot@gmail.com, I'll send them to you.
If you're compulsive and you gotta have them,
yeah, a complete,
I've got completion. Every episode and I need to have that one too.
Right. Well, I enjoyed taking a look back at all these stories and episodes that we've had over the past year. 2023 was another great year for our podcast, and I'm always so proud of the work that we do, not to like, you know, toot our own horn, but I know how much work that we put into this. Ken does a lot of work on the current events, and I get a lot of
you do a lot of work, you know, booking guests and all the technical work. Just you put a lot of work into it, and I appreciate it. And I appreciate people for listening and joining us, and especially when they spread the word to let people know we're here.
Right. Yeah. So hope you enjoyed this recap. And I think this is something we should probably do every year. It was a lot of fun. We had done this before. So thank you so much. Hope you enjoyed this. Wow, Ken, it's hard to believe that 2023 is coming to an end.
The years are just zipping by. Soon, you know, we're only going to do this podcast for a limited time. We won't do it after we pass away. So,
podcast will always live on.
It will always live on. In our obsessed fans who download every episode and keep it backed up in triplicate so that if they lose one hard drive, they still got the other hard drive. So, we appreciate that. I'm sure Library of Congress is just stacking them away. Oh, yeah. And I could listen to those two guys we just had on. I could listen to them all day long. So I always enjoy having them on. Oh, wait, it was us. Okay. Never mind.
We do listen to them all day. not
talk
everyone.
I talk to myself all the time.
Well, yes, it was a lot of fun doing that. This year's been very eventful, and we hope that next year will be even better. And like we said, we're going to start off next year with a meetup on January 19th, 2024, and we hope to see as many people as possible there that day. Disneyland will sell out that day, so get your ticket.
Because we'll be there. go to thesweepspot.com, click through on checkout on merchandise. There's price breaks, you know, all the time. So we've got some really great stuff that if you're a Disneyland or theme park fan or just a fan of the show, you'll like those shirts, those mugs, whatever else that we have there. There's some really great logos, artwork, and stuff like that. So go ahead, and that's one way you can support the program.
That's right. Well, thank you so much, and we look forward to next year of shows. I don't know exactly when it'll come out, but look forward to the somewhere in the next first week or so of January. So happy holidays and Merry Christmas, and we'll talk to you next year.